Welcome to the deep dive. You know, there's this paradox in cybersecurity today that's really interesting and honestly a bit worrying. Even systems that seem totally locked down, technologically advanced, they can still be breached. We're going to get into that today, focusing on the recent Pandora data breach. And what happened there? Well, it tells a bigger story than you might think at first glance. So, our plan for this deep dive. We'll dissect this Pandora incident, connect the dots to a much wider cybercrime trend that's going on right now, and pull out the key lessons. Lessons for big companies, sure, but also for you, for us as individuals. We've looked through company statements, security reports, expert analyses, all the good stuff to really understand this. Okay, let's unpack this. What exactly happened at Pandora?
All right, so Pandora is a huge company, Danish jewelry brand, you know them. Over 2,700 stores globally, something like 37,000 employees, massive scale. You'd assume their security is top-notch, right? But they announced recently that there was unauthorized access to some customer data and the way in through what they called a third-party platform. It screens risk, even for the big players.
It really does. And the details they shared were quite specific. The data involved, customer names, birth dates, and email addresses. But here's what's really important. What wasn't exposed? Things like passwords, ID documents, any financial info, that stuff stayed secure.
Okay, so not everything was taken.
Exactly. And that selective nature, it tells you something. It suggests that the attackers weren't just grabbing the entire database. It points towards, you know, more targeted access.
Right.
Which, thankfully, probably limited the immediate fallout for the customers affected. They didn't get the keys to the financial kingdom, so to speak.
Right. And Pandora's reaction seemed pretty quick off the mark.
Mm-hmm. They were fast, notified affected customers, promptly good transparency there, and they acted immediately to shut down that access point and put in extra security measures, trying to bolt the door after, well, maybe not after the horses bolted, but certainly after it peeked out.
Okay, but how did the attackers even get that peek? This is where it gets really interesting, because the investigation pointed to Pandora's Salesforce database as the point of entry. Now, when you hear that, you immediately think, uh-oh, is Salesforce itself vulnerable? What's the story there?
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question, isn't it? And Salesforce has been very, very clear on this point. Their platform, not compromised. The vulnerability wasn't in Salesforce's own system security.
Okay, so it's not a flaw in Salesforce itself.
Correct. These incidents, they stem from really sophisticated social engineering attacks. It's about manipulating people, not breaking code.
Social engineering, like tricking people.
Exactly. Think phishing campaigns, but highly targeted and convincing. The attackers go after company employees, sometimes help desk staff specifically. The goal is either to trick someone into giving up their actual Salesforce login details, or maybe even more cunningly, get them to authorize a malicious app. An app that looks legitimate, but then gives the attackers backdoor access to the company's Salesforce account.
Wow. So they bypass the tech by hacking the human.
Pretty much. It targets our trust, our willingness to help, you know.
That really changes things. And you said this Pandora incident isn't alone.
Not at all. If we connect this to the bigger picture, well, security researchers are saying this is part of a much larger coordinated campaign, something that's been actively running since the start of 2025.
A coordinated campaign? What's their goal?
It seems pretty consistent. Steal company databases directly from Salesforce accounts, then they use that data, all that valuable customer information, to extort the company. Pay up, or we leak it. Ransomware, essentially. But focused on data theft and extortion rather than encrypting systems.
And Pandora isn't the only big name caught up in this.
Far from it. We've seen reports linking similar attacks to huge brands. Think Adidas, Qantas, Alliance Life. Even luxury companies under LVMH, like Louis Vuitton, Dior, Tiffany & Co.
That's a serious list.
It is. And honestly, security experts think the real number of victims is much higher. Many companies might have been hit, but just haven't gone public yet.
The implications for the industry, they feel massive.
They are. It shows that even with strong technical defenses, social engineering can find a way through that human element.
And targeting CRM systems like Salesforce, specifically. That feels like a strategic shift, doesn't it? Those systems are gold mines of customer data.
Absolutely. They're designed to make customer data accessible for business, which unfortunately also makes them a prime target for criminals if they can get credentials. It's a double-edged sword.
So businesses have their work cut out for them. What about Salesforce itself? Are they advising customers on how to fight back?
Yes, definitely. Salesforce has put out some pretty strong recommendations for all their customers. Standard stuff, but critical. Things like implementing multi-factor authentication, MFA, that extra layer of security beyond just a password.
Right, like a code from your phone or something.
Exactly. Also, enforcing least privilege. Basically, making sure employees only have access to the data they absolutely need to do their job, nothing more. And, crucially, being really careful about managing connected applications and any third-party integrations. Vet them properly. Don't give unnecessary permissions.
Okay, so that's for the companies. Let's bring it back to the individual. If you're a Pandora customer who got that notification, what's the actual risk here?
Given that it was names, emails, birth dates, the immediate risk seems, let's say, relatively contained compared to if passwords or financial data were lost.
But contained doesn't mean zero risk.
Yeah.
Not at all. You absolutely need to stay vigilant. That exposed contact info, it could easily be used for targeted phishing attempts.
Mm-hmm.
Emails or messages that look like they're from Pandora or maybe your bank, trying to trick you into giving up more info.
So watch out for suspicious emails or messages, even if they look legit.
Precisely. Be extra cautious with unsolicited communications. Check your account activity regularly, not just Pandora, but other online accounts too. And if you see anything weird, report it immediately to the company involved.
Right. So pulling this all together, what are the big lessons here? What do we need to take away from this?
I think the biggest takeaway is just how critical that human factor is. Often, it really is the weak link. You know?
Even with all the best tech defenses.
Especially then. So for organizations, prevention has to include serious, ongoing employee training. Not just a once-a-year slideshow, but proper awareness programs that teach people how to spot these social engineering tricks. Phishing simulations, clear reporting channels, make them part of the defense.
And the technical controls still matter, obviously.
Well, absolutely. They're essential. That multi-factor authentication we mentioned. Implement it everywhere possible. Regular access reviews. Does this person still need this level of access? Monitoring connected apps.
And really hammering home that principle of least privilege. It's this combination, the technical locks and the human awareness, that gives you the best shot.
It really feels like a balancing act, doesn't it? You need systems to be usable, accessible for employees and customers. But attackers are constantly finding new ways to exploit that accessibility, especially through manipulating people. It's a constant evolution. It really is.
Yeah.
And this whole situation, this trend, it highlights this fundamental shift. Cyber threats aren't just about technical glitches anymore. They're increasingly about psychology, about exploiting human trust and behavior. It's moving from hacking code to hacking cognition, in a way.
That's a powerful way to put it. And it leaves us, and you listening, with a pretty challenging thought, doesn't it? If human manipulation, exploiting our basic social instincts like trust and helpfulness, is so effective, how do we actually build resilience? How do we design systems and, maybe more importantly, educate ourselves when the attack vector isn't the software, but it's us, our attention, our trust? In this world of constantly shifting digital threats, maybe our biggest vulnerability isn't our technology after all. Maybe it's just being human, something to think about.